Sportsnet.com.
Get in the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Am I on now? Okay, just checking. Welcome into the game. Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fordner, Grant Flanders, the crew with you this afternoon. K-State taking on West Virginia tomorrow. We will have a full preview of that game, including hearing from the play-by-play voice of West Virginia. John had a chance to catch up with him earlier today, so you will get the Mountaineers' perspective on this matchup. We'll have lots on it here from Bruce Weber, what he had to say earlier today about the matchup, and an update on Kamau Stokes, his playing status for tomorrow up in the air after that sprained ankle he suffered in the closing moments of the game at Oklahoma State. Also on today's program, we will preview the NFL title games this weekend. I know who I'm rooting for. Who are you rooting for? Pittsburgh, Patriots, Packers, Falcons. Also an update on hashtag Romo to KC, which I think John would be very happy about if he were on the show today. He's en route to McPherson for MHS basketball. That'll be coming your way at 6:30. It's actually MHS taking on John's alma mater, Blue Valley West, in the semifinals of the McPherson Invitational for a spot in the title game if they're able to win that one. We'll also have You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show. Here in this first hour, at some point, we will be entering one more name into our drawing for our Royals Fan Fest giveaway. We currently have three names submitted. We'll add one more to that. And then in the second hour, I will announce a winner of the four Royals Fan Fest passes, plus a hotel room that's just a walking distance away from Royals Fan Fest, and $100 to Jack Stack Barbecue, a very cool package that we'll be giving away later on in today's show. 537-1350, 866-776-1350 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call and give us your thoughts on K-State and West Virginia going into tomorrow's matchup. I actually want to start with something more from the West Virginia side of things as K-State prepares to take on the number 7 Mountaineers tomorrow. Now, that number will change in the next rankings as West Virginia did suffer that pretty shocking upset loss to Oklahoma at home in overtime earlier this week, 89-87. As I'm thinking about this game, I'm brought back to Big 12 Basketball Media Day, which obviously took place before the season at Sprint Center in Kansas City. And as you would expect, Bob Huggins was one of the best quotes at Media Day. He always has a pretty good time. I mean, even though he's kind of seen as a pessimistic kind of guy, I mean, he's always angry, everything like that, he really does appreciate the media and has a lot of fun talking to the media, and he certainly did at Media Day a few months ago. But one thing that he was asked about was how the Press Virginia philosophy was initiated, or why that happened, and why Bob Huggins brought in a style that was so different from what he's done a lot of his career. And he said that it had to do a lot with recruiting, that when he was at Cincinnati, you're in a recruiting hotbed there. You can go get the best athletes. And he basically conceded that at West Virginia, you can't get the same kind of athlete, the same top 10 kind of recruiting class that you could get at Cincinnati. And so you have to come up with other ways to score the basketball, and essentially the conclusion that he came to was, look, if we can force a lot of turnovers and get more possessions, we'll get more points that way. I thought it was an interesting way of going about things, and it has worked out very well. The downside to it is if you go up against a team that does not turn the ball over very much, or if they just take really good care of the ball, as Oklahoma did, for example, earlier this week, West Virginia is a pretty average team, and the numbers would back that up. So it's an interesting game that we're going to see tomorrow at Bramlage Coliseum.
This probably isn't the right thing to say, but I love Press Virginia. I like the whole concept of the whole game just attacking your opponent as soon as they inbound the ball, and even before they inbound the ball. I think the concept is rather fascinating because it has to do with a lot of factors when it comes to, like you mentioned, the recruiting, finding the right guys that can fit your offense and defense. Coaching is a big part of the press because you got to figure out how to coach it perfectly, and it also challenges the other coach, and that's where I think we find out, you know how good of a coach is Bruce Weber, because I give you a couple examples of what I've seen from other teams with a press. Earlier this year, K-State women's basketball, I think they ran into about three or four straight games where their opponent, including Auburn, was one of them. I remember them as being one of the first to just start pressing him. And a lot of other teams saw that because K-State women did not handle the pressure that well. They were turning over the ball. They were still winning the games. It just didn't look the best against the press, and other teams started to do that. MHS basketball, the girls, that's what they do. They press. They press Virginia, their opponents, and that has been very successful except for one time, even though they're undefeated. I think it was Shawnee Heights, who MHS was not able to force one turnover with their press. So it really comes down to coaching, because it comes down to, can that coach, put together a formula, a game plan to break a press? If you can't break a press, you're probably not going to beat that other team, because they're going to swallow you up and you're going to really hurt you're beating yourselves at that point.
West Virginia does not have a single player that's in the top 20 of the Big 12 in scoring, not a single one, but they get their points from so many different places, and they are either first or second, I'm not sure, on the latest numbers in terms of scoring in the Big 12. They are actually first in the Big 12 at 89 points per game without a single player that's in the top 20 in scoring. That's just so amazing. But this is even more amazing, at least to me. They have 11 players that are averaging at least 4 points a game for them. 11. That's absolutely amazing. And you can make it 12 if you want to say players that are averaging 3 points a game, or 14 players that are averaging at least 2 points a game. They play everybody. Everybody gets in there and plays quite a bit. The guy that plays the most, Javon Carter, is only averaging 28 minutes a game. It goes 28, 24, 28, 19, 22, 15, 15, 10, 12, 10. It's amazing. It's just it's a philosophy that you do not see very often in college basketball, and it does present a very unique challenge. And you actually see, we saw this from K-State earlier this season. I think other Big 12 schools are doing this as well. West Virginia has the rest of the league's full attention because they are going out and trying to schedule West Virginia-like teams in the non-conference. We saw K-State do that. I believe it was Hampton or something that K-State brought in because Hampton was a team that is known for pressing a lot. Of course, you're not going to see near the level of talent in that kind of game, but you just want to give your point guards something to look at and something to work on and put on tape as you try to prepare for this West Virginia press. Obviously, it'll make a big difference if Kamau Stokes is able to play.
That's what makes West Virginia kind of scary, though, is their depth. They can really bring in anybody to run this press, and they bring in so many people probably because when you run a press like that, you're going to probably get a little tired. It's a lot of effort, and you got to be in really good shape to do it. And that kind of freaks you out as a K-State fan because Bruce Weber has had to take timeouts to rest his guys because he's worried about them getting tired because of what happens at the end of the games, not being able to finish, getting tired. Hopefully K-State can break these presses because can't really afford anybody to get tired, especially, and hopefully Kamau Stokes can go. But I'm going to bet you K-State probably doesn't have the depth that West Virginia possibly does.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You are going to have to get solid contributions from an Isaiah Maurice, who we saw had a pretty solid game against Oklahoma State, 6 points and two rebounds. He did commit three fouls in only 10 minutes of action, but you're going to need to get something like that from him. Xavier Sneed is going to need to be absolutely huge for K-State in this game, and then hopefully you're not asking Corby Irvin to be your starting point guard. If Stokes is able to play, Irvin is still going to have to come off the bench and do some positive things for you, maybe not in scoring, but certainly taking care of the basketball. Here's another really important stat to remember with West Virginia. K-State is actually third in the Big 12 in turnover margin so far this year. They're averaging three fewer turnovers per game than their opponents, so you would look at that as a plus 3.1. That's third in the Big 12. Second in the Big 12 is Iowa State at plus 5.8. First is West Virginia at plus 12.5 per game. They are averaging 11 turnovers themselves per game and forcing 24 per game on average. That's absolutely amazing.
Last year here in Manhattan, that game went to double overtime. Mm-hmm. You said it was during the Liberty Bowl. Is the same day?
Yeah, same day.
K-State only had 15 turnovers in that ball game. I thought the Cats pretty much handled themselves. What I worry about is actually if you're a K-State fan, and I want to give all the K-State fans who are going to Bramlage Coliseum a warning about this game. You're going to get very unhappy and very frustrated by how this game is going to be reffed. I guarantee it because West Virginia is going to make a lot of contact in this game, and we'll see what kind of officiating crew we're going to get, but we're either going to get one that are going to let the teams play, and there's going to be some bumping. There's going to be a lot of that in the backcourt, or we're going to get a crew that's going to blow the whistle a lot, and we're going to have a lot of fouls. And we had a game like that, 2013 or 2014, where it just seemed like the referees were on their whistles all night. I'm just saying right now, you're going to get a little unhappy with what's going on with the officiating at times.
Yeah, and you know, K-State needs to be concerned about that. It is a legitimate strategy to try to force a team to beat you at the free throw line, and West Virginia is not a good free throw shooting team. They're the second worst in the Big 12, actually, in that department. But when you're a team like K-State that doesn't have a lot of depth, you don't really have the room on the roster to start fouling a lot of guys because you can get in foul trouble pretty quick, and that's exactly what West Virginia wants you to do. They want to have just more manpower than you and try to exploit its huge advantage, which is in the depth category. As I mentioned, 11 players averaging at least 4 points a game, and they basically, except for one guy at the bottom of their roster that's averaging 3 minutes a game, everyone else on their roster is averaging at least six. So everyone's getting in there in some sort of capacity. They don't do very many things extraordinarily well. Statistically, they are an average basketball team. But what they do well, they do it so well that it makes an average team look really, really good, and that's why they're leading the Big 12, not only in scoring offense, but in scoring margin, winning their games by 25 points per contest.
And with that press, mentally, that can really get at you.
Yeah, it gets in your head.
It can get bad.
Yeah, it's not going to be the cleanest basketball game
tomorrow
at Bramlage Coliseum. If it is, that probably bodes well for K-State's chances, and this is a game, we'll talk about this more later in the show, but this is a game where if you win it, your trajectory to the NCAA tournament is very, very clear. I mean, it would be a huge help for K-State. They did get their second top 100 win of the season last night as Oklahoma climbed into the top 100 in the RPI, but you're going to need some – I mean, just top 100 just doesn't make it a marquee win. Got to have a couple at the end of the year that are against top 25 teams. This is an opportunity for K-State to get one of those coming up tomorrow afternoon. We're going to take our first break here on the show. Still coming up. Yeah, we're going to talk about Johnny Manziel today. I really didn't anticipate that. But we are going to talk about Johnny Manziel today. But when we come back, which NFL team are you rooting for the most this weekend? Are you anti-Patriots, so you're going to go with the Steelers? Or are you pulling for Jordy Nelson and the Green Bay Packers? It's kind of an interesting debate, but we'll all give our takes and pick our winners for the NFL championship games coming up next on The Game.